Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
First things first, OBJ made his Rams debut last night, and while it didn't exactly go as planned, are the Rams still the class of the NFC with him on the team? Baker Mayfield has been part of the problem in Cleveland this season. Should the Browns consider moving on from him when the time is right? And Anthony Davis ejected as the LeBron-less Lakers lose yet again. Good Tuesday morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. Put your shoes on. Jenna Wolf alongside Nick Wright, Chris Broussard, Kevin Wilds. Nick, are all these problems the Lakers are having, will they all be solved when LeBron's back?
Well, not all of them. Certainly not if they get these super sensitive Gen Z refs. Oh, you said the S word. Get out of here. It's the NBA, guys. Buck up.
Not a good word.
Give me a break.
It was the BS word, Nick. The BS word.
Oh, my God. Oh, my ears are going to fall off.
It was the BS word.
All right, let's start with a little Monday Night Football, and then we'll get to all the different kind of letter words. Rams at Niners, all eyes on OBJ to see if his connection with Matt Stafford will be better than it was with Baker. And the answer is not yet. Though the two have only had 2 days of practice together, Stafford, rough night, got picked off twice. Rams receivers did him no favors. They dropped 5 passes in this game, including 3 on third down. That's never going to help you. And the Niners grounded and pounded their way to a 31-10 win over the Rams. OBJ finishing just 2 catches for 18 yards. So a lot of angles here, a lot of take in after watching this game. Nick, how worried should the Rams be after last night's loss?
Oh, I think the concern should be mounting greatly, and in honor of the World Series of Poker main event, which just got down to the final table yesterday, let's talk about this all-in analogy that the Rams promoted on their social media feed. Not just because they used a clip from a movie where the guy who went all-in actually lost, but the real pitfalls of going all-in. Sometimes you go all-in with what you think's pretty good hand. You go all-in with ace-queen, like, hey, I should be in good shape. And you might be coin flipping, and you might be drawing nearly dead. And while the Rams aren't drawing nearly dead, the problem is they're probably coin flipping in round 1, round 2, round 3. And what are the odds of winning 3 straight coin flips? Well, the answer to that's 12.5%. And if you look at the Rams' current path, not to win the Super Bowl, but just to get to the Super Bowl, even if Broussard, you think they are the best team in the NFC, the generic you, not you, Chris Broussard. The fact that all of these games would be on the road, their best case scenario would be what? That it's a pick 'em? So a pick 'em against Tampa, you have 50% chance of winning that. Say you do. Now you're at a pick 'em against Green Bay, 50% chance of winning that. Say you do. Pick 'em against Arizona or Dallas. The odds of winning all 3 of those, 50, 50, 50, that's 12.5%. If they're slight underdogs in all 3, as I think they would be, oh my God, my camera's freaking out. The odds of winning all of those, all those 3, say they're a 40% chance to win all 3. Then all of a sudden it's a 6% chance that you go 3-for-3 on 40% shots. So if they're not dead for the bye, Broussard, but if they don't get it together quickly, and by the way, their road games the rest of the way are at Green Bay, at Arizona, at Minnesota, at Baltimore. None of those are easy.
Yep.
Their home games are Jacksonville, sure, that's easy. Seattle, we'll see. And then week 18, a San Francisco team that's had their number, San Francisco maybe would be playing that week for a chance to make the playoffs. I don't see, Broussard, how they get the bye. And without the bye, and with a quarterback that's never won a playoff game, I don't see how they win 3 straight coin flip games. So, yeah, I think they're in real trouble, Broussard.
Well, look, I got a little lost in all the calculus you were kicking, but overall, I do tend to agree with you. Look, the problem for the Rams and for their fans is that it's Super Bowl or bust. And Jenna alluded to this. She said, right. Are they still the class of the NFC? They were, in my view, they were never the class of the NFC. They are in that top class. They are in that upper echelon where they're one of the teams that does have a legitimate chance to get to the Super Bowl. But if your perspective is Super Bowl or bust, and anything less than being the definitive favorite in the NFC is cause for alarm, then be alarmed. All right, and you should have been alarmed from the get-go because, look, Matt Stafford, yeah, he's better than Jared Goff. But this notion that he was going to step in there automatically and now they're the best team in the league, I just thought it was too far-fetched. It wasn't realistic yet. Maybe he would prove it, but he has been an unproven quarterback. I'm sorry, I know the numbers in Detroit were gaudy, but he played in 3 playoff games. And he lost every single one of them. He had 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions in those 3 games. They weren't, those losses and those lost seasons in Detroit were not always the other guy's fault or the organization's fault. I'm not saying it was on him all the time either, but he did play a part in that. And so for him, he's never had a season with expectations like this. Smart football Correct. People were picking him as the preseason MVP. And that those expectations only increased over the first 8 weeks when they went 7-1, and he probably was the leading MVP candidate. And now, I don't know, is it a coincidence that he's come back to earth and thrown 4 interceptions, 2 pick sixes in the last 2 games now that the expectations are really high? So we got to see what he is. The bigger concern even than that, though, is their defense, Wilds. They were obviously the best defense in the league last year, number 1 in scoring defense. Now they're 12th in scoring defense, and they got pushed around. I didn't think I'd see it with an Aaron Donald anchoring your defense, but they got manhandled yesterday.
They got bullied.
To give up nearly 40 minutes in time of possession to an opponent, it is ridiculous. And they gave up the first 11-minute drive, Wilds, in the last 3 years of NFL football. And so that's their biggest problem to me is on the defensive side of the ball. But look, and I know I've been long-winded, but Wilds, I just got to say this last thing. If I view them, if you're level-headed like me, and you just see them as a team with a chance, one of the contenders in the NFC, you're not panicking. Because Tampa Bay's had 2 bad losses. All right, Dallas was down 30-0 to Denver just a couple weeks ago. All right, Baltimore's bad losses. We know what Kansas City's been through. All the contenders, for the most part, have had their ups and downs. So later on, Nick mentioned it, tough schedule, Green Bay coming up after the bye. There'll be times to panic later on, but it's not yet, Wilds.
Okay, so I'm calling that the truffle game, and here's why. Nikki, you ever had truffles? You ever a waiter? Hey, would you like to try our truffle fries? I'm like, truffles. I heard a lot about these things. So exquisite, high-end, luxury. Oh, fresh in from Charles de Gaulle this morning. So you try them, you're like, you know what? Trying this truffle fry, not only is it not exquisite, creme de la creme, it's not great, it's not good. And it might be straight up bad. It's worse than that's what I saw from the Rams. Are you sure you're not straight up bad?
First of all, I
straight
love
up bad. Games. And Broussard, I know you talked about you love. But you're a high class guy, Broussard. But just us, pedestrians down here. I don't love the truffle fries. It's why you love the Rams so much. So here's the thing: they haven't had a quality win since week 3. That win against the Bucs. They beat the Bucs and Tom Brady. We're like, all right, momentum. They're great. Like, all right, then what happened? Well, then they lost to Arizona. They beat a Seattle team where Russ hurt his finger and the wide receiver slipped and Geno threw an interception, but they had a chance at losing that game too. Nice. Then they beat the Giants, the Lions, and the Texans. That means their 4-game winning streak, that team's record is a combined 7-28-1. Then they had 2 bad losses. Titans' loss was bad.
They were sitting on single-digit points until a garbage time touchdown. Same last night. You're sitting on 7 points for 95% of that game. Broussard, you talked about how bad that defense is. Not great. Von Miller out there waking up, getting pancaked by George Kittle. Not awesome. And then, Nick, I know the people are like, well, it's a bye. I think the bye is actually going to hurt them. We all have friends from, we're all in the Northeast. You have friends who live in L.A. You're going to have a sit in L.A. for 3 weeks and then go to Green Bay. The only person that thrives like that is Drake. Drake's the only guy who likes to go from L.A. to cold weather. Like, this is great. Right. Everyone else, all they do is complain. It's going to be freezing, and they are going to struggle. They're going to lose another game in Green Bay. They're going to be looking at a three-game losing streak. I think they are not a Super Bowl contender, Nick.
So just real quick, Nick, so after the game, Sean McVay said, I don't think the last couple of weeks, all the weeks that Wilds just described, is who we really are. Maybe it is who they really are. Maybe on paper they're just flashy with the, now they've got OBJ and they have Sam Darnold, Aaron Donald, and I know Robert Woods is out, but they had all these flashy names. Maybe this is actually who they are, and McVay's got it wrong.
Well, I think they're a good to really good team. I think McVay's right. They're not the team we saw last night. The problem for them is a simple one. Before, and I'll deal with McVay in a second. Can we just show my playoff route bracket again? And I just look at these teams. Don't even think about the teams. Don't think about where the games are being played. Just in place of the logos, think about who plays quarterback for those teams. Brady, Rodgers, Kyler, Dak. Stafford.
It's a good call.
Stafford's better than Goff. He's also the worst of those five quarterbacks. And the least playoff experience of those five quarterbacks. You might say, oh, Nick, Kyler's never been in a playoff game. Au contraire, my friend. Kyler has played in a playoff game more recently than Stafford. Now, it was in college, but that was against Alabama. Basically, an NFL playoff game. That happened more recently than Stafford's last actual playoff game. Brady was in the Super Bowl last year. Dak was in the playoffs 2 years ago. Rodgers has been in back-to-back NFC championship games. So you have the least experienced playoff quarterback. And the worst quarterback of the five. Now, again, he's better than Goff, but you're not competing with Goff. Goff seems 0-8-1. You're competing with these guys. And one other thing about Sean McVay.
Right.
Because the favorite stat of every Rams broadcast is the one I'm about to show you. Did you know?
Oh, here we go.
Sean McVay.
Halftime.
Has never lost a game when leading at halftime. Okay, but what? Well, is his career record undefeated? No. So what does that mean? That means if he is losing at halftime, they're terrible. So what does that tell us? That tells us that if Sean McVay goes into a game with either schematic or talent edge, presses that edge, executes in the first half, there's literally unbeatable. But if in the first half it's like, oh boy, this team's better than us, out-scheming us, out-physicaling us, anything, he doesn't really have a counterpunch. I think that's why last night you saw an absurd fake field goal. A fake field goal that even if it was successful, they probably still would have ended up kicking a field goal because there was 12 seconds left in the half. I didn't understand why they were doing it at all. It's because he knew we've got to at least get it to within 7 at halftime or else we're dead. And so that graphic cuts both ways. Unbelievable. When you go into a game, execute your plan and enforce your will on your opponent, but not a great counterpuncher. And if anybody thinks they're going to go into these playoffs and just roll through, have halftime leads, and no, they're going to be hard games. And so I think the Rams, unless they somehow can get that one seed, Jen, are in real rough shape.
Looks like the glass half empty, according to some of us here. All right, from one LA team to another, let's talk some Lakers. All kinds of problems last night against the Chicago Bulls. Will all of those issues be fixed when LeBron is finally healthy enough to return? We'll discuss that next. First things first.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Late Lakers.
The bank robber
last night, Staples Center. It was all Chicago from the opening tip. DeMar DeRozan went for a season-high 38. Lonzo Ball, 27 against his former team. And Anthony Davis with the hangnail, just kidding, got tossed late in the third. And Chicago rolled to a 121-103 win. Fourth loss in the last seven games from the Lakers without LeBron, who is still sidelined with that abdominal strain. Broussard, I'll go to you first. The Lakers' loss to the Bills was blank.
It was the homecoming from hell, Jenna. And this year, we've heard a lot about Russell Westbrook's homecoming, right? He's from L.A. and gets to play for the Lakers, his hometown team, all that. Well, last night, it was three Bulls with Los Angeles ties who did end the Lakers at the Staples Center. Let's start with DeMar DeRozan from the city of Compton. He goes for 38 points. He looked great. Like, he's having a great season, his best year of his career. Lonzo Ball, you see Lonzo strutting. When Lonzo comes into your gym and he's strutting like that, well, it's because he dropped 27 points, a season high. And then Zach LaVine, who played his college ball at nearby UCLA in Westwood, he goes for 26. So it was a big-time homecoming for the opponent, not for the Lakers. Yep. The homecoming from hell, Nick.
So you left out one other person with LA ties, and that's obviously Caruso, who's not from there. He's from Chicago area, I believe, but he played with the Lakers. And to me, the loss was bittersweet, and here's why. There was a big story this week about the Lakers lowballing Caruso. They obviously chose to keep Talen Horton-Tucker over Caruso. Now, they could have kept them both, and they should have kept them both, but those bus family boats won't buy themselves. So, the luxury tax penalty, really got to worry about that. When you own the Lakers, but set that aside, they chose THT over Caruso. They were only going to pay one of them. Part of that was because THT is 20 years old and Caruso's 27 years old. Part of that's because the upside, and part of that's because of what THC can do for you scoring-wise. Well, last night, the one sweet part of that game was, did you see what Talen Horton-Tucker did? Oh, a career high, 28 points. And while Caruso has been excellent this year defensively, he and Lonzo have been an awesome backcourt, and the Bulls don't really need him to score. He did score zero. So 20-year-old Talen Horton-Tucker having a career-high 28, and bonus little piece of knowledge here, Wilds, LeBron will be back Friday at the latest. Maybe Wednesday.
Ooh.
He will absolutely be back by Friday. So the Lakers' time without LeBron is coming to an end this week, and so I say it's a little bittersweet. Bad loss, AD shouldn't be kicked out, but Talen Horton-Tucker, big game for him, career-high, and they need him to be big this year.
Clutch Nick out here. Breaking news. LeBron, by the way, clutch client. Not a lot of people know. Broussard, I want to get your take on this. Played a lot of basketball. I know how much refereeing you did. Well, my answer is shoegate.
A little bit.
AD gets ejected because his shoe falls off, and the referee doesn't stop the game. He's like, hey, buddy, you got to call a timeout if you want to stop the game. How long, if you're a ref, do you kind of just slow down or just kind of stall and let AD put his shoe on? In seconds. I'll give it like 5 seconds. Remember, Jen, it's Mississippi's. No one does that except you. How long do you do it, Broussard? How long do you give AD to put his shoe on here?
The rule of thumb is 8.1 seconds. All right, 8.1 seconds. That's what you give him to get his shoe on. And the bottom line, Wiles, is this. He should have understood AD's frustration and not giving him the tea for saying the BS word. That's it. That's all. No matter whether it's 3.1 seconds, 8.1, whatever.
He doesn't have to kick him out. Even if he just doesn't give him any time, then ignore that. Anthony Davis cursed. He didn't call you. He didn't call you a curse. He cursed at you. Those are different things. He didn't call you a name. You don't need to kick a guy out for that. Lakers lose either way, Jenna. They're down 20 at this point. But come on, ref. A little overboard on the sensitivity training, NBA refs. Toughen up a bit, fellas.
Wow.
Guys, I'll say, this is the last time I'm going to say it. It is one banana, two banana, three banana, four. Get those shoes on.
I'll give you $1,000 if it's actually the last time you say it.
Mayfield.
That's a deal.
This season.
That's yeah, a lock
okay.
in
too long. All right.
I agree, Jenna.
Fine. But how am I going to know? How are we going to know?
I misspoke.
Is it actually time for the Browns to part ways with the former number one overall pick? But that's it, Broussard. Banana's the same thing as Mississippi. It doesn't take too long. It's the same amount of time, and it's more fun. We're back after this.
Okay, you've already lost.
Talking Baker Mayfield now. It was a performance to forget Sunday in New England for Baker. He was wonderful. It was the internship itself, which is not important now. Baker managed just 73 yards on 21 attempts before getting knocked out of the game with a knee injury. Head coach Kevin Stefanski said Baker is day-to-day at this point. You can add that to the list of bumps and bruises and breaks for Baker this season. It's resulted in just 9 touchdown passes in 9 games. He ranks in the 20s in all 3 major passing quarter categories. That's not great. So what does this all mean for Baker's future in Cleveland? Yahoo Sports' Charles Robinson recently published a column headlined, "The Cleveland Browns may need to mull quarterback options beyond Baker Mayfield." Boom. So, Broussard, I gotta ask, is it time for the Cleveland Browns to start thinking about other options at quarterback?
Absolutely. All right, this is not a conundrum to me. It's pretty simple. Yes, I'm looking elsewhere. Now, that doesn't mean I don't like Baker Mayfield. It doesn't mean he may not be my quarterback of the future. All it means is that he has not yet proven that he is definitely that guy. Unless you have a star, a legitimate star at quarterback, then you're always ready to upgrade. And what Baker Mayfield has proven, guys, is that at this point, he's a game manager with moxie. He's a game manager with swagger. He got his swag back. Oh, that's what he is. All right? He's Jim McMahon. He's Jim McMahon. Remember Jim McMahon? McMahon was a game manager with amazing swag. And look,
so much.
You won a Super Bowl with Jim McMahon. You had one of the best defenses ever in Chicago and one of the greatest running backs, arguably the greatest, in Walter Payton. If you get that in Cleveland, and obviously Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt aren't the greatest running backs ever, but that's a great running game. The defense has not lived up to what it needs to be. My point is this. Baker has not yet shown that he's definitely the guy. So this summer, I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers. I'm kicking the tires on Russell Wilson. And if Deshaun Watson's able to continue his career, I want him. If I can't get one of those three guys, Nick, I'm letting Baker have a prove-it year on his 5th year of his deal. He's already signed up for it. And he doesn't prove it, then I franchise him. Like, there's no pressure to me. I don't have to just give him $40 million. He can't. What's he going to do? So, I agree with you,
Broussard. I agree with you in that the Browns should be in no rush whatsoever to sign him to an extension. Maybe Baker's been his own worst enemy this year by being as tough as he is. You said he's a game manager with moxie. I would add incredible toughness playing through those injuries. But as we know in sports, you don't get credit for playing through injuries if you play through them poorly. He'd almost be better off if he had been knocked out for a month, maybe. But that ship has sailed. Here's the problem for Cleveland. And, you know, I've tried to use a lot of real life examples from my personal life. And, my colleagues think I'm making people up. So in this instance, I will just use a hypothetical, not someone I actually know. But when we talk about the Browns and a pursuit of Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, sounds a little bit to me like a guy who is, you know, off and on employed, not that good looking, who's saying to you, hey, you know what? I think I might be leaving my wife. And you're like, really? Why? It's like, well, heard Rihanna just moved up the street. It's like, hey, buddy. I know maybe she's a little annoying at times and the fire isn't what it once was, but let's just remember who you are, where you are, and more importantly, where you were. Because can we show those Baker stats again that Jenna showed at the beginning? Those look bad unless you watch the Browns the 20 years before he got there. Those would be greatest quarterback of this century for the Browns. So here's the problem if you're Cleveland. They've gotten on this treadmill a bunch. Since 99, They have spent four prior to Baker first-round picks on quarterbacks. Those quarterbacks were Manziel, Whedon, Quinn, Couch. They spent four second- and third-round picks on quarterbacks. Those quarterbacks are Kaiser, Colt, Fry, and Kessler. They also signed a few in free agency. Who are they? Hoyer, Campbell, Anderson, Dilfer. That is the dirty dozen of despair for quarterbacks. So yeah, Baker hadn't been great. But guess what, Wilds? Aaron Rodgers ain't signing up to go to Cleveland. Cleveland? No.
No.
Russell Wilson, can you imagine between Russell Wilson, sorry, Broussard, I know they have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and it is the birthplace of Chris Broussard, but still.
He's been in Green Bay for the past 15 years. Come on.
Yeah, which is why if he wants to leave Green Bay, it's not to go to just a slightly larger Green Bay. Again, I'm from Kansas City. I'm not talking trash on the Midwest or the Rust Belt. But can you imagine, Wilds, the conversation between Russell Wilson and Sierra, honey? I know you're sick of the Pacific Northwest. You want to be in a more cosmopolitan place. I got us out of here. Really? Where are we going? Miami? L.A.? San Francisco? If it doesn't work, Trey Lance? New York? Did the Giants? No, no, babe. Cleveland. Going to Cleveland.
Cleveland
they,
you know,
they got a great Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Maybe you'll be in there one day.
Yeah.
So they're, I don't think
rocks.
They're getting, of course.
Oh, that's a good sell.
Wilds, if you can get Russ or Rodgers, then yes. Go get Russ or Rodgers. That's as is the case for 26 teams in the league. Other than that, stick with what you know. Like, you're going to draft a quarterback. Okay, you've had great success at that. Actually, you haven't. You've been terrible at it. So I think they're kind of stuck.
Yeah. So I do too. So the Charles Robinson article that we put the headline up, use the example of Marcus Mariota and Tannehill. So Marcus Mariota, we're like, they don't know. The Titans didn't know about Marcus Mariota. So they got Tannehill as kind of an insurance policy. Marcus Mariota went south. All of a sudden, they've got Tannehill and they've got their franchise quarterback. So it made me think, Broussard, are we sure it couldn't go the other way? Are we sure that in that analogy, that maybe the Browns are the Dolphins and Baker's Tannehill? Getting a little long in the tooth. Tannehill was 30 when the Dolphins got rid of him. Didn't really develop like he wanted. Didn't feel like he could have won a Super Bowl. But all of a sudden, you go somewhere else. Huh. That guy's now a franchise quarterback, and we gave up on him. Dolphins still looking for a quarterback. So I am not down on Baker at all. I think the injury hurt him a lot this season. It's just like Russ. Like, guys want to come out and play through injury. They probably should not. But I would be worried about Baker going to a new spot and all of a sudden thriving. And the Browns sitting there like, huh, you know what? We thought we could upgrade our position, and we actually couldn't. Do you have at all optimism that we've yet to see the best from Baker?
I do. Like, I'm not down on Baker either. I'm just saying if I could get Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, or Deshaun Watson, all of whom might be available, I'm doing it. But look, I mentioned he's a game manager. A couple years ago, guess who else was a game manager? Dak Prescott, right? And now he's emerged as a legitimate star. So I do think potentially Baker could become that. And Nick's right, despite his Cleveland bashing, he's right about the other stuff. First time in the playoffs in 18 years. First time winning a playoff game in 26 years. You mentioned how tough Baker is. That's huge in Cleveland. It's a tough, hardcore city. Much tougher than Kansas City, by the way. And Baker could be that guy. So, you can keep Baker if you can't upgrade. So, I'm with you, Wiles. I'm not just giving him away for, like, you mentioned, a Ryan Tannehill type, right? I'm not giving him away to get Teddy Bridgewater or somebody like that.
Correct. And the other, like, the guy who I think fits the Tannehill mold, who we know is going to be available, is just a less attractive Baker. And that's Jimmy G. All the same limitations, just not as good looking as Baker. And by the way, I'll stand by. No, he's actually less attractive than Baker. It's been studied, Wilds. You should look it up, my friend.
Literally the worst take you've ever had. Literally the worst take on the show.
All right, that's fine. I prefer a little ruggedness. We can discuss later, Jenna. Let's get to medals. I don't need them bashing Baker because he's not 6'4 with a dimpled chin. Give me a break. Then why isn't Jimmy in more commercials?
Well, he's not.
Suns and T-Wolves.
think, and I'm not sure looks is what's driving Baker's commercial industry. Devin Booker was in his bag, 29-5-5. Phoenix won their ninth straight. They're now 10-3. How about that? But Booker just missing out on a medal. Nick, which three guys did it better last night?
Bronze medal for Kristaps Porzingis in a nice win over Denver. Kristaps, second straight huge game, had 32 over the weekend. Wilds, put this on your meter. Kristaps for Kyrie. It's still sitting out there. Kristaps raising that trade value. Kristaps' triumphant return to New York. Kyrie gets to go to Texas. They might elect him governor. No. Silver medal. Jokic, the defending league MVP. Some would argue he's having a better year than last year, which if he does and he wins the MVP this year, it will then just solidify that last year was the worst MVP ever. If Jokic wins it this year and is better than last year, look that up as well. Gold medal, DeMar DeRozan, 38-6 for DeRozan. He's averaging 27 points per game. For right now, the team that I think has played the best in the East, I understand the Wizards are a half game up in the standings. Great job by DeRozan. The Bulls offseason, some questioned it. Some of those are on this panel. Some of those are actually speaking right now. It has worked out brilliantly for them. Good job by them. DeRozan gets the gold. Jenna, there is the podium from a very fun Monday evening in the NBA.
Nice looking podium. What? Take it all in. First things first, we're back here talking to Russell Wilson now. He made his much-hyped return from a finger injury Sunday at Lambeau, but Mr. Unlimited looked like Mr. Limited. You know what I mean.
Oh! Drift.
He was shut out by the Packers. He was held scoreless for the first time in his starting career. He was left with a 3-6 Seahawks record heading into Week 11. The lousy start coming on the heels of an offseason in which Russ expressed his frustrations with the franchise. So what comes next? Peter King wrote this: I wonder if we're seeing the end of the Russell Wilson era in Seattle. As I watched the futility of this game, I just started thinking it might be time for the Seahawks to think of alternatives to Wilson, particularly if he gets mopey again next offseason. Nick, you think Sunday's loss was just a bad game, or do you think possibly it might be the beginning of the end for Russell Wilson up in Seattle?
Oh, yeah, I think it might be the middle of the end. I think the beginning was probably this offseason, and this year has not, you know, healed any of those wounds. So, yeah, I think this is a real thing that now becomes one of the leading simmering stories for once the season ends, because Russ was unhappy when they were 12-4 going to the playoffs. How's he going to feel at 3-6 on the outside looking in? And by the way, sidebar, Russ should never have been allowed to play. I understand he's very powerful within the organization.
19 hours of rehab.
He couldn't take snaps under center. I don't care how much rehab he was doing. He was either his hand wasn't right, or because of all the rehab, he was sleep deprived. Either way, he was not in a position to play football against the Green Bay Packers. And Geno had played well enough that you would have had a better chance. You wouldn't have scored negative points. And this was a 3-0 game late in the game. I know it ended up being a blowout, but with just competent offense, because Rodgers looked rusty having missed all the practice time, Seattle could have won that game. But here's the thing, Wilds. Typically, one would say, well, you can't move on from your quarterback as good as Russell Wilson. But has it grown stale? Will you believe this? Because Seahawks are in the playoffs seemingly every year. Since they were last in the Super Bowl, Seattle has won 3 playoff games. Those 3 playoff games were all wild card weekend games. They haven't been past the divisional round. And those 3 playoff games came against Teddy Bridgewater in a 10-9 game Seattle should have lost. But Blair Walsh, if you remember, missed a 27-yard field goal that I think took 6 years off poor Mike Zimmer's life. Their next playoff victory came against the Detroit Lions. Doesn't count. It's against the Lions. And their only other playoff victory came against, let me check real quick, Josh McCown. A 17-9 victory over Josh McCown. That was the game Carson Wentz got knocked out of on the first drive. So since being in the Super Bowl, you have gone to the playoffs 5 times. been bounced in the first round, two of those five, and the three times you got past the wild card weekend, it was against Bridgewater in a game you should have lost, against the Lions, and against Josh McCown, and then you lost the next week. So maybe it's better for both sides. Maybe Seattle needs a hard reset, and maybe Russ can, you know, continue this part of his career somewhere else, because I don't look at Seattle as contenders. I don't. They weren't last year. They're not this year. So, I think maybe it's better for everybody.
Okay. So, Broussard, here's my issue, or see what I see. I don't think Russ ever wanted to leave last year. And Brandon was on the show, and Brandon was, like, dialed into this story. But Russ never actually said, I want it out. Granted, his agent put out a report like, if I were to leave, these are the four teams I'd like to be traded to. But Russ never came out and said, I want out of Seattle. Now, why didn't he? Well, it's a pretty simple answer. He doesn't want to leave, but he wants things to change. So how could that work? Same with Tom Brady. Similar story to Tom Brady. Tom Brady wanted things to change. Well, Robert Kraft's like, well, Bill Belichick's not going anywhere. Bill Belichick's like, I run this whole show, so you're going to be the one that leaves. I don't think Pete Carroll is as ingrained in Seattle as Bill Belichick is. I think the knives are being sharpened in the media, and Russ, whether he wants to admit it or not, has lit a little bit of a brush fire that if Seattle struggles this year, and he gets mopey, as Peter King says it, I think the media and fans are going to be like, whoa. If we have to make a decision between one of the best quarterbacks in the league and our coach, who hasn't won a Super Bowl since, I think 2015, was it?
2013.
I think everyone is going to side with Russ.
Blue one.
And Pete Carroll will be on the hot seat, not Russ.
A good take, Wilds, as they should. I mean, look, what was Pete Carroll in the NFL? I know what he was in college. What was he in the NFL before Russell Wilson got there? A mediocre coach who'd gone 7-9 in each of his first two seasons in Seattle. That's what he was, and Russell Wilson made him darn near a legend. All right, and Nick, here's the thing. Has it gotten stale with Russ? No. You know what was stale? Matt Hasselbeck was stale. David Krieg was stale. Jim Zorn is as decent as he was. Seneca Wallace was stale. Franchises, this is what you live for. To get a star future Hall of Fame quarterback that every single year has you in the playoffs or right there in the hunt. You cannot get rid of it. They went their first 36 years of existence without this type of quarterback, and there is no guarantee they would ever get anybody three quarters as good as Russell Wilson. So, yeah, I'm not moving on. If I got to get rid of Pete Carroll, so be it. If Russ does, and maybe Wilds is right that he really doesn't want to leave, if he does just really get ugly in the offseason, that's one thing, okay, we got to look at. But he is locked up for the next two years after this as well on his contract. So I'm just not under any circumstances trying to trade Russell Wilson if I'm Seattle, no. Nick.
And you make really strong points. I guess the devil's advocate argument is you don't have your first round pick this year. It's not like you have oodles and oodles of cap space. How are you going to get much better? Unless you do want to call up the Giants and say, we want three firsts and three seconds and throw in Daniel Jones, we'll see if he works here, for Russell Wilson and do a hard reset of the franchise. Wilds, on the Pete Carroll thing, I want to be delicate with how I say this. Pete Carroll turned 70 years old a couple months ago. We all thought it was kind of cute. The whole, where's my challenge flag? Oh, let me throw my flip phone. I do wonder how that landed in the locker room and in the front office. It's like, oh, okay. Guy's like literally searching his pockets for his challenge flag. I mean, we're 3-6. We're not great on defense anymore. our coach is, you know, like, wait, where do I leave my keys during the game?
I think that's
and all right. I do wonder. I mean, it's just what happened. Wiles, I've been watching football a long time. Never seen someone reach for the challenge flag and throw a phone. Never seen it. Now, I don't know if that was a phone or a weird hairbrush or what warmer. It was. It was a hand warmer. Whatever it was, it wasn't a challenge flag. And I just don't think that necessarily. We looked at it as funny. I just wonder if the knives are out, I guess I'm helping sharpen them with that little, you know, anecdote, if you would, Jenna.
This week, Thursday Night Football, Mac Jones leading the Patriots to Atlanta to battle Matt Ryan and the Falcons. Full disclosure, Kevin Wilds, a little nervous about this game. Sorry, buddy. Sorry, I had to share that. A little nervous. It all starts 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on Fox NFL Network. And streaming on Prime Video. Not when there's a microphone on your lapel. Back to our top story. All right, here we go. Rams, Niners. OBJ making his debut last night. Never quite got on the same page with Matt Stafford, who threw two picks. OBJ finished with just two catches for 18 yards. The Rams offense never clicked, but the Niners, oh, sure did. They grounded their way to a 31-10 win. All right, Nick, how worried should the Rams be after getting blown out last night by the 49ers?
I think they should be really worried, and not because of the individual result of last night. We've learned this year, don't overreact to single games. We've had a lot of odd single games.
Right.
But what it says for the Rams' chances of making the Super Bowl, because let's be clear about this. There is only one team in the entire league that anything short of a Super Bowl appearance makes the season a failure, and that's the Rams. They traded picks to move off Stafford, to move off Goff, bring in Stafford. They traded more picks for Von Miller. They keep borrowing from tomorrow Rams to help today Rams. That better work out. And as the Rams sit here right now, I would put their chances of making the Super Bowl around 6-8%. You might say, Nick, that is ridiculous. 6-8%? Well, I didn't just come up with that figure. Show their path to the Super Bowl right now as it is. At the Bucs, then at the Packers, then at either Arizona or Dallas. My guess is Vegas would have them as about a 3-point underdog in each of those games. Say that, oh, the teams are about equal, but because they're on the road, 3-point underdog. 3-point underdog means you have about a 40% chance of winning. The chance of winning three straight 40% events is 6.4%. That's the math on it. Nah, Nick, they're better than all those teams. So it's not a 40% chance. It's a 50% chance. Okay. The chance of winning three straight 50% events is 12.5%. No, Nick, they are way better than all those teams. Doesn't matter, it's on the road. Okay, they're a 60-40 favorite. Broussard, the chance of winning three straight 60% events is about 21%. They have put all their eggs in this year's basket. Unless they climb up to the one seed and get a bye and get home field, they're then asking Matt Stafford, who, by the way, is the worst quarterback of those five teams, to go on the road and not just win his first career playoff game, win his first three career playoff games to get to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I think they're in really, really rough shape considering this is the ultimate Super Bowl or bust year for them.
All right, I got problems with a few of the things you said. You lost me a bit with your trigonometry, all right, your calculus, whatever that was you were kicking. All right, but first of all, that's going to change, Nick. How many weeks we got left? 7 weeks? All right, we don't know that the Rams, who are 7-3, the other team's got two losses, that they're going to be the fifth seed. So we have to see how that plays out, number one. Number two, I do like Dak Prescott and Kyler Murray better than Matt Stafford. But it's not definitive that those two are better than him. Obviously, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are better than Matthew Stafford. But the other two, Kyler and Dak, especially Kyler with his inexperience in the playoffs, I'm not so sure. All right, maybe they are, but you give Stafford a chance against those guys. And thirdly, Nick, I think Green Bay and Tampa Bay also are Super Bowl or bust. Now, I get they didn't go out and trade their future for the quarterback that they have. All right, I get that they didn't sign Von Miller and OBJ just recently. But if Green Bay or Tampa Bay doesn't reach the Super Bowl, just like the Rams, it is a failed season. AFC, you go Kansas City as well. All right, so they're not alone in that boat. Their problem, though, is just what I said. They got to reach the Super Bowl. And I think they have a shot. They have a chance. But they're certainly no definitive favorite. They're not the Warriors with Kevin Durant. They're not the big three Miami Heat where, oh, yeah, they're definitely getting to the finals. And so that is the problem. So they got to fix their defense if they want to get to the Super Bowl. Wilds, that's my main issue with them. Stafford, you know, he hadn't played under this type of pressure, so maybe he'll bust. But right now he's been okay except for the last two games. But the defense has gone from best scoring defense in the league last year to 12th this year. Couldn't get off the field last night. The 49ers had the ball for nearly 40 minutes. They got to get better on that side of the ball, which they should do with Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and now Von Miller and all these other guys. They can be better, and they got to be better.
Well, I'll tell you what, Broussard. I am not pumping the brakes on the Rams. I am slamming my foot onto the brakes so hard that the airbags start to deploy, and they hit me in the face, and I got a chalk all over my face, and I'm like disoriented. That's how hard I slam the brakes on the Rams. Here's why, Nick. They haven't had a quality win since week three. They beat the Bucs. Everyone's like, yeah, our preseason predictions were right. They just beat Tom Brady and the Bucs. And then what happened? They lost to the Cardinals. Oh, then they rattled off four wins. I guess the teams that they beat were Russ when he injures his finger and Geno threw an interception, the wide receiver slips. The Lions, the Giants, and the Texans. The record of those teams with their four-game winning streak is 7-28-1. What about the other losses? They lost to the Titans. Was that one close? No. But that was score was 20-9 with 3 minutes left. Last night, also a bad loss. Broussard talked about how bad the defense was. There were some highlights, though. Odell made a good tackle, and Von Miller got pancaked by George Kittle. So if you want to see some good tape of the defense, those are your highlights. Oh, they're on a bye, Wilds. They'll be able to bounce back. And go where? Green Bay? You're going to spend a month in L.A. and then go up in Green Bay and play great?
And that's
not going to happen. They're going to lose in Green Bay. It's brutal. So here's the final thing, Nick. If anyone disagrees with me, like, no, Wilds, you're being too hard on them. When that game was 14-0, didn't you think it was over? Like, oh, game's over. First quarter felt like the game was over. You wouldn't feel that way about Patrick Mahomes. You wouldn't feel that way about Dak. You wouldn't feel that way about Tom Brady. When it was 14-0, I was like, man, I don't think the Rams can come back.
Well, so that, and by the way, the Rams thought they were in real rough shape, which is why they tried that cockamamie fake field goal down 21-7 at the half instead of just taking it 21-10 and seeing if they could come back. So there's, don't show the McVay graphic just yet because I want to set it up. I remember a few years ago, Mike Tomlin was getting a little bit of criticism, and one of the things everyone kept saying was that Mike Tomlin, every year, loses a couple games he shouldn't lose. Loses games to bad teams. And I remember going on TV be like, okay, but since he's literally never had a losing record and almost always makes the playoffs, doesn't that mean he must also be winning some games he shouldn't win or else it wouldn't even out? If he's getting some losses he shouldn't get, then he must, the fact that he always has a winning record, it must even out somewhere. Here's why I say it. Show the McVay graphic, because everyone knows the left side of the graphic. But think about what it means for the right side. We hear it every game. 43-0 when leading at halftime. Undefeated. And that is incredibly impressive. But then the question is, so why isn't your lifetime record, you know, 70-15? Oh, because when you're not leading at halftime, you're a four-win team. 10-27 is about a 4.5 win team over the course of a year. Broussard, that to me speaks to the fact that if he can execute his game plan, if he can go in and do what they plan to all week, they'll roll over you. But if you got to go in the lab at halftime, make some adjustments, you can't. And that also, Broussard, concerns me for the playoffs. They're not going to be dominating these playoff games. They're going to be in tight games and they're going to need a comeback. Do you trust the Rams to do it? Because I don't.
No, that's a good point. And they're not my pick in the NFC. And that speaks to Sean McVay not making the adjustments at halftime that other coaches are making. Kyle Shanahan undressed him last night. What do we remember about McVay most? Bill Belichick undressing him in the Super Bowl. So you're right, Nick. Yeah. He, as well as his other, as his players, he has to make some improvements as well if this team's going to reach his goal.
We got to go. Undisputed starts right now.